So this is our last in the series of Who We Are in Christ. And today we're going to look at the armor of God, our supernatural protection that he has placed over us. As I said before, he has given us everything that we need to be standing, to be strong as soldiers in his army. We've got defensive armor, we have offensive weapons. We're going to deal with the defensive armor today just because of time, really. I haven't got enough time to do the weapons. But can we start by looking at the first slide, Victor, please? Okay. Can you see it? Okay, I will read it out loud and clear. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, and against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Next one, please, Victor. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is his word, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There's a hang of a lot in there. So we're going to unpack it a bit. So briefly, this passage tells us we are to stand strong in the Lord, not in our strength, in his strength. We're to stand in faith. There is a demonic hierarchy of spirits that seeks to oppose us. But we have armor that protects us. We have powerful weapons of warfare that to use against them. But we need to be alert and watchful. That is so important. And we need to persevere in prayer. So let's unpack it a bit. Be strong in the Lord is the first thing. And we've been hearing this a lot lately. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. We stand firm and God fights, right? We don't do the fighting, except the fight of faith. Now, I'm going to read you two brilliant scriptures. I haven't got them on slides, so I'll have to read them out of my Bible. Just to emphasize that point, this is Psalm 18. I love this psalm. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises are true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God arms me with strength and he makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. You have given me your shield of victory, and your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great, and you have made a wide path for my feet to keep them from slipping. Isn't that fantastic? God goes before us. And then I'm going to read another one. This is Psalm 44. And this is David saying what has gone before. And he says, "O God, we have heard it with our own ears. Our ancestors have told us all you did in their day, in the days long ago. You drove out the pagan nations by your power and gave all the land to our ancestors. You crushed their enemies and set our ancestors free. They did not conquer the land with their swords. It was not their own strong arm that gave them the victory. It was your right hand and strong arm and the blinding light from your face that helped them, because you loved them." And so we have God as our protector and our shield. And you know, in that analogy of the armor of the Roman soldier, there's no armor for the back of us, you know, and that's because God is our rear guard. He is behind us. He is protecting us. And we move forward knowing that we have Almighty God behind us. So let's move on a bit. Being watchful. Can we have the next slide, please? That's a bit easier. Peter tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, not fight him, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And Ephesians 4 tells us, nor give place to the devil. And I think we saw last week that we can give place to the devil by stepping out of God's protection through disobedience and not walking in the ways of God. We do need to know our enemy and how he works, because we need to be able to discern his tactics. And I know that many Christians don't like to talk about the devil. They don't like to give him any glory, they would say. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus talked about him. Jesus told him what he was like. Jesus told him he would oppose us, and he does. And, you know, he is defeated. Christ defeated him, but he is not locked up yet. That's going to happen in the future. He's still around. He's still in the earth. And, you know, he hates God. He's been trying to usurp God's authority since the very beginning. And the only way that he can get at God now is to get at us. And he tries. But we are protected if we walk in what God has given us. Just think for a minute about an army general, say, for example, and they're going to war. I mean, there's plenty of wars around the moment. They don't just send the troops in like bulls in china shops. They plan, they spy, they set their strategy. You know, they know their enemy. They find out all his weak spots and everything. And so we have to be as well. So let's look at the enemy's tactics against us. Can we have the next slide, please, Victor? Slide 4. One of the first things that the devil tries to do is steal the word, isn't it? Jean brought us a word last week. She said that if we don't prepare our hearts to receive the word, and if we are not listening properly so that we hear what the Spirit is saying, the enemy can steal the word from our hearts. So, what is preparing our hearts to receive the word? It's listening. It's being teachable, being malleable, allowing the word to shape us. Another tactic of the enemy is lies. Jesus said this, didn't he? He said he's the father of lies, and he lies about God's character, who God is. I'm sure that all of you have had thoughts come into your mind that God's harsh maybe, or he doesn't love you as much as he loves this one. And, you know, he'll lie about who you are. You're no good. You know, that person doesn't like you. This person doesn't like you. He'll lie about other people. Have you ever walked into a room and people are in a room, they're talking, and then you walk in and join the circle and all the conversation stops, and straight away into your mind it goes, oh, they don't like me, they were talking about me because they've stopped when I've come in. That kind of thing. The enemy does it all the time. And we know that he deceives. He twists God's word. And Jesus said in these last days, deception is going to increase. And he repeated over and over again, beware of deception. The enemy is a master deceiver. We saw how he deceived Eve in the garden in the beginning. And he tempts and he entices. And we saw with Jesus in the wilderness, well, we didn't, but last year I did a speak on Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. And Jesus was enticed and tempted in three areas in the wilderness. And every time he took the word of God and he diffused Satan's attempts to get him to bow to him. And that's what we have to do as well. And of course, we know he's always hindering the purposes of God. He hinders our prayers. He does. Remember Daniel. Daniel was praying about the state of Israel and what was going to happen. And he was praying and praying and praying for 3 weeks. And eventually the angel Gabriel came and said, you know, your words were heard right from the very beginning. But for 3 weeks, the prince of Persia, there's that principality, the prince of Persia withstood me. And Michael, the archangel who is the protector over Israel, he had to come and fight that principality so that Gabriel could get through with the answer to Daniel's prayers. And he causes disharmony and strife, doesn't he? In families, in churches, disagreements, falling outs. It's always the enemy behind that. But we can be wise. And he causes confusion as well. We've got incredible confusion in the world today, haven't we? The increase in mental health issues amongst people, from young children to older. What about the gender identity crisis, if that's not confusion? This is all the enemy's work. And he brings fear. And there's a lot of opportunity at the moment to succumb to fear when we hear of all the talk of nuclear war and, you know, but we don't have to be afraid of the enemy because God is with us. And probably one of the things for Christians who are a bit mature, like our congregation, is distraction. I think that's one of his number one. Distraction. Busyness is a big distraction. Takes us away from the word. And we need to know all of these things and be alert to all of these things so that we can stand against them. Demons are powerful beings. They know us inside out, and they will use that knowledge against us. And so it's crucial that we are aware of his devices. But we need to keep a right perspective as well, because Jesus has triumphed over them. Okay, let's look at the armor. The first piece of the armor. I was going to say let's put slide 2 up again, but I don't think I will, because we can't read it. So the first piece of armor is the belt of truth. And I believe that's mentioned first because it's our foundation. We've heard about the rock that we stand on this morning, and it's representing the word of God. And that is Jesus. He is the word of God made flesh. And he dwelt among us, and he brought the truth to us. And we said it over and over again last week that it's the truth that sets us free. It guards us from deception. And as I've already said, deception is increasing, and it's so important that we know the word of God. So putting on the belt of truth, as it were, is giving priority to the word in our lives, reading it, meditating on it, memorizing it. And we need to know the word so that we can discern. And of course, the belt holds the sword of the spirit. That's one of our weapons. You know, like Jesus did in the wilderness, when we are facing a situation and we're not sure what to do, and suddenly the Holy Spirit brings up a scripture to our minds that exactly fits, and we can speak out and declare that scripture, and it just goes forth, because God says, my word will not return void. It will accomplish what I've sent it to do. And that sword can just slice through all the tactics of the enemy. But wearing the belt also means obeying the word, doing the word. James 4:7 said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we are at risk. If we just read the word but don't apply it to our lives, we can self-deceive. We can think we're okay, but we're not. We have to do the word. And wearing the belt of truth also means holiness. We were talking about that this morning. Trevor was talking about that. We conduct our lives in integrity, in honesty, in all of the things we do. Okay, the next piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. We've talked a lot about this over the last 2 weeks. And Jean brought it this morning again. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, in Christ we are the righteousness of God, because he that knew no sin was made sin, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. So our standing is based upon Jesus, not our performance. It's all about Jesus' performance. He was the spotless lamb. He lived the sinless life. He took our sin, and now we walk in his righteousness. And what does this protect us from? Accusations. You know how the enemy accuses every time you slip up, think the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, and you immediately get that barrage in your mind. Oh, you're not very good. You've made a total mess of that today. You know, God's not pleased with that, you know. But we can say, you're right, I screwed up, but I'm righteous in God's sight. It's not based on me. It's based on him, and he was perfect. And of course, it protects us also from condemnation and guilt. You know that feeling, even when you've repented, you still feel a bit heavy and condemned if you've done something wrong. Well, maybe all of you don't get that, but I've had it before, definitely. And at times, you feel so guilty that you turn away. Instead of going to pray, you turn away and you think, oh, I can't face God at the moment. I really shouldn't have drunk too much wine or whatever it is, because I've done that, you know. But when the Holy Spirit convicts us, he draws us to God, you know, and we can repent and be free. And one of the beautiful scriptures in Proverbs 24:16, and I've used this many times, a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. We are not perfect. We know we're going to trip up. And I don't know if you can recall the time where Peter came to Jesus and he said, how many times in a day must I forgive my brother who sins against me? And I think he thinks he was being really magnanimous in saying 7 times, you know? And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. You know, so there is never an amount that we cannot, you know, confess to the Lord. He's not going to run out of forgiveness, is what I'm trying to say. And so we can afford to be bold. Because as Jean said this morning, when God looks at us, he sees that perfect righteousness of Christ. Shoes of peace. And history tells us that Roman soldiers' shoes were like really heavy leather sandals, studded and spiked on the bottom to provide secure footholds and keep them from slipping in battle. And this represents the peace we have with God through Jesus Christ. Can we try and look at slide five? Next one, Victor. There we go. Okay. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So we have Jesus' peace. And of course, the Philippian scripture, which says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So how do we walk in peace? How do we put on these shoes of peace? I would say by staying close to Jesus. You know, Jesus said in John 15, "Abide in me and I will abide in you." If my word abides in you, I'm quoting here, not very well either. If my word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Remember that? So we stay close to Jesus. We abide in him. How do we do that? Through the word, through being close in the word, through worship, through prayer, through keeping short accounts with God, being repentant immediately we do something wrong, maintaining right relationships with our brothers and sisters and our families, maintaining that air of peace, being a peacemaker, and as that bottom scripture in Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, bringing everything to God in prayer. And God's peace protects us from being fearful, for having anxiety. And I'm sure you've all been in a state of anxiousness at times and taken it to God in prayer. And by the time you come out of God's presence, that peace has just ascended. I've experienced it many times. And Jesus said, "Yes, you will have troubles in this world, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." God's peace enables us to walk the Christian life sure-footed, even in the midst of stormy times. And we need to have confidence and boldness in that God's peace will protect us. I was just thinking about this and I thought, you know, we've been told to win the lost, fulfill the Great Commission. But if we are fearful and anxious, how are we going to present the gospel of peace to people? People in the world are full of fear and anxiety today. And they need to see us walking in the peace of God, because the peace of God in our lives and permeating out is going to draw people who are afraid and anxious, going to draw them to us, and that's what we want. Okay, next piece is the shield of faith, and we haven't got much longer now. The shield of faith protects the front of a person. And I think that signifies that we face opposition and trouble head on, confident in our God. And again, faith is just trust in the word of God. And again, it comes from giving the word priority in our lives, confessing, believing, applying the word, feeding on it on a daily basis. And we know that the more we do that, the more our faith grows. Because Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And it protects us from doubt, unbelief, fear. And when the enemy fires his darts at our thinking, we can speak out the word of faith and diffuse them all, just like Jesus did. In Peter, he tells us to resist the devil, stand steadfast in faith. And of course, Timothy said, fight that good fight of faith. And you know, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12 tells us that Jesus perfected faith. Can we look at the next slide, please? Hebrews 12, there we go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. And I've just jumped ahead of myself, but that's fine. That's fine. We're talking about the helmet of salvation now. And Jesus, when he was looking to the cross and knew what he had to go through, he guarded his mind with that helmet of salvation. He put it on, and what does that mean? Focus. And what Jesus focused on was the joy of his family that he was going to have once he paid for their sin and their sacrifice. So wearing the helmet of salvation to us is setting our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And if you think about a soldier in the army, he doesn't get entangled with the things of civilian life, does he? He's focused on his job and what he's to do. And we have an eternal destiny before us. This is not our home. We are just passing through. And the helmet, focusing on God, focusing on the kingdom, the eternal destiny that we have, it protects us from discouragement. And we know that we can be confident in God's promises to us, to fulfill the work he's begun in us. And did you know that Jesus wore the helmet? Isaiah 59 says, Jesus put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He was full of hope, and he was able to endure the trauma and the trouble of the cross because his mind was focused on heavenly things. And we can focus on heavenly things. You know, the word says that we can't even imagine the glorious things that God has got prepared for us. So, really, everything that I've spoken about in these three messages of who we are in Christ is dependent upon us knowing the word of God in our hearts. Because the word is a living, powerful, supernatural word. It's full of life. It gives us faith. It gives us hope. It sets us free. It enables us to have discernment. It gives us direction and wisdom. And it gives us protection. And through the word, we have intimacy with Jesus, intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and we get to know our Heavenly Father. And it says in the Old Testament that the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. And that's what I hope, that out of all of these messages, you've been able to gather how crucial, I don't know how to say it strongly enough, how crucial the word is in our lives. It is absolutely, we can't live without it, basically. And so that's my prayer for each and every one of you. And so let's just pray now. Father, I pray that each one of us here and anyone that listens to these messages online. I pray that they would come to a new love and hunger for your word, and that they would go into your word in a deeper way and not just skip through it daily, Father, so they've done their readings, but that they would really learn to hunger and enjoy fellowship with you through your precious word. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.